from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I can see Broadus on the fan cam. He's sitting down on the tennis courts in Oxnard after another Cowboys practice. He'll report on that throughout the rest of our broadcast day. Goes until 6:30 today. But joining us now from Pro Football Focus, it's our buddy John Owning. And a good afternoon to you, sir. How the heck are you?
Man, it's a good day. It's a good day. Can I complain? How are y'all doing?
Man, about the same. Yeah, you know, looking forward to getting this season started and seeing what kind of a team they're going to put together. Had a couple of injury scares today, but appears we're getting off clean on that, so that's good. But, John, I'd love your big picture expectations from this team. Is there any chance they are, let's say, better than last year in any way?
Now, that's the thing. It's tough. I think that in the NFL, where teams are so closely where their talent levels are so close, and, you know, just the little things are what separates you, and, like, luck plays a big part into it. I would say the complete roster isn't as good as it is as it was last year, but there's definitely an avenue where they have better – where their results are better than they were last year. You get a couple of bounces of a ball to go the right way. You get – you know, you play better and bigger – situations, like you don't lay an egg against the Packers, you come up and you play better. I definitely think there's an avenue to where they do perform better over the long haul of the season, but I would say odds are that, especially in the regular season, they're not going to perform up to that 12-5 standard that they've set the last 3 years.
John, it's a big day for you, man. Carl Lawson is finally a Dallas Cowboy. You have been dreaming about this moment for many, many years, and I just want to say congratulations. This has happened. How pumped are you that the Cowboys made this signing?
I'm very excited, very, very excited, especially, you know, given the fact that he worked out with the team a couple weeks ago and they didn't make that sign. They didn't sign him then. From everything that I heard, it came down to kind of a money thing where Tony and AQM, Al-Quadi Muhammad, were a little bit cheaper, and they were going to see if they were able to solve their issues with kind of the cheaper route. And once they saw that, you know, Shaka Tony with his groin injury and Al-Quadi Muhammad just aren't performing up to snuff to be able to replace the production that, you know, Sam Williams left, Dante Fowler left. I think that made them decide that they wanted to go get someone that was maybe a little bit more expensive to help their edge depth, especially. I think he, when healthy, has proven to be a very effective pass rusher off the edge. I think he's someone who has familiarity with the scheme dating back to his time in Cincinnati. He didn't play under Mike Zimmer, but he did play under Paul Gunther. So I think the Cowboys are very aware of the skill set that he has and the things that he can bring to this scheme and this defense. So I'm very excited. I think he's someone who can kind of play in that Dante Fowler role that they had last year, a guy that can be a really effective pass rush specialist for them, who can be efficient on pass rush downs, third downs, two-minute situations, those type of situations where you need to generate as much pressure on opposing quarterbacks as possible. And that's something that when he's been healthy, Carl Lawson's been able to do throughout his career.
They also bring in big Jordan Phillips as well to bolster up the D-line and the run stopping. What do you make of this Zimmer defense? Is this, do you feel like this has the potential to be better than the defense that Dan Quinn was bringing to stadiums every Sunday?
I definitely think so. I think where Dan Quinn was so good at, you know, the motivation factor and things like that and getting his players to play fast, I think Zim is going to bring kind of the scheme element into it, and he's going to be able to kind of play chess with the opposing offensive coordinators where Quinn kind of didn't. We saw that Quinn has kind of had trouble with the Shanahan and McVay kind of coaching trees, those teams that use a lot of play action, use a ton of motion at the snap, a ton of shifts, give your offense a ton of eye candy, and they try to exploit the weaknesses in your zones and your communication and those type of things. And I think Zimmer does a much better job of establishing like orders of operations for going against motion. I think that's a big thing we've all noticed with the Zimmer scheme during the preseason and during when we were down in training camp, is that the Cowboys are handling motion much more effectively. They have definitive things. The one thing that I keep harping on is that they're keeping the math in their advantage. You know, so much about playing defense, especially coverage-wise, is you want to have the math advantage. And by that, I mean you want to have, if they have two receivers to one side, you want to be able to have three coverage defenders to that side. So you have 3/2. Or if they have three receivers on that side, you have 4/3. And when teams created motion last year, that would kind of mess with the math of the Dan Quinn defense. They didn't do a good job of, you know, when they would be static, they would be 3/2 on one side. But when they motion one receiver over to create a three receiver side, it would kind of be a 3/3, and you get a only man on man situation. And if everybody is not perfect, you can get exploited, especially if you don't generate pressure on the opposing quarterback. And that was kind of something that became an issue for the Cowboys, I believe, last year when teams were, you know, putting a ton of emphasis on slowing down Micah Parsons and no one else was really getting home consistently. They were able to, you know, exploit the Cowboys through the air, and I think that's something that Mike Zimmer is going to do. He's not going to allow offenses to exploit the math. He's going to always be able to keep things 3/2, 4/3, keep that math advantage for the Cowboys defense, and that's going to allow them to, I think, have more success against these more cutting-edge offenses that they're going to see, you know, the Shanahans, the McVays, the LaFleurs of the world.
Hey, John, you know, watching practice, I feel like that they've addressed the defensive tackle spot, they've addressed really the end spot. That was something they were kind of chasing on both fronts. I'm thinking about this running back group might be the next one. Is that in line with what you're thinking? And do you see that as being something that they're absolutely going to have to address?
I wouldn't say that's something that they have to address, but it's something that I think if the right opportunity presents itself, you should definitely take that opportunity. Like, say if someone like, I'm going to butcher this name really bad, but the guy on the Jets, Israel, I think it's like Abanikanda.
Yep.
Somebody like him becomes available who can, you know, give you a little bit more of a big play ability, still does a good job with vision. Because the Jets have a really stacked running back group, if he somehow gets waived or released, or the Cowboys can, you know, throw a conditional seventh round pick their way during cut downs that bring them over here and not have to fight on the waiver wire, that's something that I would definitely explore. But I'm not looking to just grab a running back for running back's sake. I think if you had to go into the season with Ezekiel Elliott, Rico Dowdle, and, you know, Royce Freeman or Malik Davis, and depending on what you want to do with our guy Hunter Lipke, I'm totally fine with that, because I'm the type of guy that thinks that what you do up front is going to dictate how well your running backs are going to play. And I think as long as the Cowboys offensive line does their job, and the Cowboys offensive coordinator and play caller and scheme developer do a good job of mixing up the schemes, you know, using play action, keeping defenses on their toes, using motion at the snap, using shifts, those type of things, I think they can still be successful enough on the ground that it's not going to inhibit their passing game, and it's going to allow their total offense to still be very effective.
John Owning with us here on 105.3 The Fan in the G-Bag Nation. When you're looking at the landscape of the NFC East, it's weird, man. We have not had a repeat champ since the Eagles did it in 2004. Are the Cowboys, you think, still the favorite? Are the Eagles much better? Do you believe in maybe Washington making a jump with Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn now there?
Definitely don't believe in the Commanders or the Giants, especially given with a rookie quarterback. I think that especially when you're talking about interdivision matchups with the other teams, the Cowboys match up extremely well with the Commanders, especially because, you know, Jaden Daniels, Mike Zimmer in the past has done extremely well against rookie quarterbacks because he's so good at disguising things, sending blitzes, using combination coverages on third down. You guys know how wild Zimmer likes to get on third down, and that really confuses opposing rookie quarterbacks. So I'm not really worried in that sense about the Commanders. I think they'll be better, but I don't think they'll be good enough that they're really a threat to win the NFC East. And I just think, like most other years this last half decade, it's going to come down to the Cowboys and Eagles, and it's going to be one of those things. The Eagles have a lot of talent, but I'm not sure how well their totality of talent meshes together well. And then you have the issues with the head coach and Jalen Hurts. And we've seen in the past and down the stretch of last season how that can really, you know, really devolve a team and really create issues as they're going down the stretch and could allow them to play much lower than their ceiling, than their potential is. So I think the Cowboys still have a really good opportunity. Obviously, things have to go right. And so much of this has to do with health and injuries, and as long as Cowboys can avoid, you know, those really crippling injuries at important positions, I think they can definitely buy, and they'll be right there at the very end. It's probably going to be, like most other years, one of the things that comes down to the last week or two between the Eagles and the Cowboys.
John, what do you think about Dak going into his last year? Is he good enough for you that you think re-signing him should be a no-brainer?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm a big Dak Prescott fan, I think. He's obviously not, you know, the Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen of the world. He's not that type of tier of quarterback, and I think that's fine. He's a good enough quarterback to where you can win with him. He's a good enough quarterback that can take you on a run if everything else is going well. And just the problem has been, since his tenure, there have been things that have gone on outside of his control that have not allowed the Cowboys to kind of move forward. We just kind of need the rest of the team to play up to their capabilities in the playoffs, and I think we'll see Dak Prescott operate well. I mean, we saw him retire Tom Brady, and he played out of his mind in that game, so I don't think it's something that the pressure gets to him. I just think the rest of the team maybe is not playing up to snuff in those situations, and I think he definitely – I mean, everything we see from him from an accuracy point of view, from a decision-making, from a, you know, operating at the line of scrimmage, I think he has it all from an ability to be able to take the Cowboys on a nice playoff run if, like I said, the rest of the Cowboys team plays up to their potential.
I'm pretty much there with you. I do wonder if the team does enough in free agency and trades to build out the kind of roster mm-hmm. that could play to that level around him.
Yeah, it's a problem. I think the Cowboys kind of sitting on their hands throughout the offseason, only bringing in, you know, Eric Kendricks until really we get into training camp. I think even though we like the fact that they signed Carl Lawson, that they traded for Jordan Phillips and those type of things, making those type of moves, it would have been better if they would have made those type of moves when there was a greater pool of free agents to choose from, where you could have chose from maybe some more talented players, maybe some players that don't have the injury history that these guys have, or what have you be. So it's just, I'm kind of worried about the depth, and that's why I think injuries are always so important every year, but I think it's even more important this year because they have some positions where if they take an injury or two, it's going to be extremely difficult for them to be able to climb out of that hole.
Are you paying Dak Prescott 60-plus million?
For sure. I've been paid him. I would have paid him. I think he's
been paid him.
And especially in this climate, you don't want to go into it without a quarterback. I think it's just you're playing roulette, you know, just trying to, you know, roll the dice that you're going to get another quarterback in. I think the Cowboys have already been extremely lucky with Tony Romo and Dak Prescott to be able to get them with an undrafted free agent and fourth round pick. I think trying to test your luck in that situation again is very tough. And I don't think the Cowboys are going to be bad enough to where they're going to get a high enough draft pick to where you feel confident that they are going to be able to pick from a pool of quarterbacks that are talented enough that makes you feel good about where you're going to move. So, you know, if the Cowboys are going to be in that kind of mediocre aspect of the NFL, you're just not going to be in a situation where you're going to be able to grab, you know, the most talented quarterbacks. They're still going to be hoping that you're able to get kind of lucky like they have been. And just, I, I don't think they have the Packers quarterback left.
What kind of a grade do you give Mike McCarthy for last year, what he's done with the offense, and if we should be rooting for him to get another contract to be the head coach?
I go back and forth on this because one thing that really worries me is the offense that he and Schottenheimer designed coming into last season. We saw how it was a lot of short stuff. There was a very static offense. And I will give him credit for making the changes necessary coming out of the bye. But the fact that you had to make those changes in the first place and those weren't implemented going into the season is a little bit worrisome. So that is something that worries me. Obviously, the game management things are a little bit worrisome. But I do think he does a better job than a lot of people give him credit for. You know, I don't think the Cowboys would have been three straight 12-5 seasons if he was a terrible coach. But I don't think he's a coach that is, you know, he's obviously not like the Sean McVays of the world. They're going to get you one or two games just because they're better schemers, they're better decision makers, and they put their players in the right positions to make plays more consistently than most other coaches. But he's not going to cause you to lose games consistently either. I just think he's kind of a, you know, just kind of a level coach. So it honestly is one of those things where either way, I'll be fine with it.
Sounds good, John. Sounds like you got a party to go to, actually.
Yeah, what's going on?
I've got a couple to go to. I got the Carl Lawson party to go to, and then this weekend's the biggest weekend in grappling. Anybody that knows me, you know, I'm huge into grappling from being a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. We got, like, the World Championships of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu this weekend with two big tournaments for over $1 million. So I'm going to be parked up in front of my computer watching those, watching the Cowboys preseason game and the UFC fight. So I'm very excited.
Hell yeah, John.
Live it up, brother. Thanks for your time.
Hey, appreciate you guys.
There he goes, John Owning, a must-read there on Pro Football Focus and a must-follow for Cowboys fans. Okay, NFL news of the daytime. Well, Chuck, where are we going?
Jameis mic'd up, the shoe watchdog, and would you have wanted your team to make this trade?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's next.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time for the NFL News of the Day segments brought to you by Soda. That's state of the art. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. call Franklin Frankel. If you're hurt in an accident, not your fault, for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com and hear Zach with your NFL news.
Well, excited for Krusty's Corner coming up next. Of course, we got the two new Cowboys, Carl Lawson, Jordan Phillips, and then practice today. The one thing I do want to just get some reassurance on, what any update on Brandon Cooks, who left practice, Brian?
They said that it was just knee soreness and there's nothing you need to worry about. And then also Wilson went off the field too. He banged his knee and went into the tent for an extended period of time. We were kind of waiting to see what happened. But then when he walked out, he went back out onto the field. So it's not like he just banged his knee and he's okay after getting checked out. Okay.
Always want the bang over the twist when you hear about the knee stuff.
Ooh, no always twisting. Want the bang over the twist.
Give me the bang. Yep. Give me the bang. Well, Cowboy fans, you can set your calendars. Is they're almost done with the Oxnard practices. They'll be back for Cowboys night on Tuesday, August 27th, 4 o'clock. At the Star on the Tostitos Championship Plaza. It's going to be the Cowboys kickoff live DJ. You'll get Rowdy, the mascot, interactive games, giveaways, and more. Doors for Ford Center are going to open at 5 o'clock. They got practice afterwards. And those who can't attend, this is going to be broadcasted live, TXA 21. You can watch it from the comfy confines of your own house, wherever you might be. So that will be Tuesday, August 27th, your chance to go watch the Cowboys in Frisco. Now, a lot of Cowboy fans were asking, I'm sure, Brian, your mentions got flooded too. Like, any interest in Matthew Judon of the New England Patriots?
Yeah, I'd had interest if I'd known all I had to do was give up a three.
Right? Like, would
I'd have to pay him, though, too.
That's the thing.
He's expecting a new deal.
Yes. So. And I guess the Falcons and him, maybe not as close to a new deal, but that'll probably get ironed out, I would assume. That's why they're trading for him. But a third-round pick in 2025 is all it took for the Falcons to get Matthew Judon of the New England Patriots, one of the best all-around edges in the sport. Now, he is 32 years old. He had a career-high 15.5 sacks in 2022. Prior to that, he had 12.5 sacks, four-time Pro Bowler. I mean, he's very consistent, double-digit sack-type player. But Justin Simmons, All-Pro safety, also just got signed by the Falcons. So the Falcons are over here adding some All-Pro type of talent to a defense that was top 10 in the sport last year.
Yeah, that's a great point. But they got a new coaching staff, and you get through training camp the first couple of weeks, and then you realize you're not worth an S, you know, and you better go out and you better trade for a guy, and you better find a way to maybe get some safety help. But you're right though, they were a top 10 defense. They wasted a great opportunity. Their offense should have been good enough. Their defense was good enough. They had the quarterback problems, but yeah, that's a team. It looks like they're going the right way on defense.
There were a lot of Cowboys fans that were frustrated. I saw on Twitter, mm-hmm. like, why wouldn't we do that deal for Judon? But
he is
a good player. I mean, even despite all that, like giving up a third round pick for somebody.
Oh, no. That's true.
I'm like,
even if it's a year rental and maybe he's okay with that.
Yeah, like even that, like none of that would have made sense from a Cowboys standpoint.
Yeah.
Like they're not a Matthew Judon away. Like, okay, they trade for Matthew Judon today. Cool. That certainly helps things from a pass rush standpoint. That doesn't put them any closer to a Super Bowl. No.
Jordan Addison, great news from Minnesota. He's going to be okay after he was carted off yesterday. Kevin O'Connell, their head coach, spoke to the media during practice today. Said, man, he avoided a major ankle injury. Don't see him missing any extended time. That was a scary day yesterday for Vikings fans. Yet the news, man, our rookie starting quarterback is out for the season. Now maybe our second-best receiver, who could be a number one on a lot of teams. Jordan Addison, very, very good player. Brian, I know you were super high on him in the draft 2 years ago.
Yeah,
he's been a touchdown machine.
Love that kid. And, you know, he is a smallish type player. But, yeah, the Vikings, man, I would hate to be in their personnel department having to deal with all the things there are right now. That's tough.
All right, we got more great Jameis Winston sound. Now, he was on with Pat McAfee earlier today, but I want to start with the Cleveland Browns had him mic'd up. And this is outstanding. This is just the first half of his mic'd up. You can find this on the Cleveland Browns multimedia, Twitter, social media, wherever. But he gives a great pregame speech, and he's just getting the vibes right ahead of preseason game number one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Hello.
What's up, sir?
Good to see you.
I like your helmet look. That's a good look.
Thank
you.
I'm into motorcycles, so I'm going for the biker look. Hey, Trey. Welcome to the NFL, man. You got to love it, right? Let's just be right here where we at. The most important thing is your specific play. Be obsessed with the simplicity of the game. Welcome to the league, boy. Welcome. Let's go, baby. Let's be obsessed with greatness. Let's be obsessed with energy. Let's be obsessed with the execution of it. Yes, sir. Happy to be in your business, in your establishment. Now we teammates. Let's get it, boy.
Hey.
Dominate, boy. You look good. You play good. You feel good, all right? Together. The message is simple. Be obsessed with your opportunity. All of us that came from wherever we from. Mm-hmm. But we got it right here and we got it right now. Yeah. So be obsessed with your opportunity. I got one thing for y'all, man. Yeah. All right, I just want y'all to help me out because I know we're a team, all right? I have this in my dream, all right?
Come on.
All right, when I say where my dogs at, y'all say we ready, all right?
Yeah.
Where my dogs at?
We ready.
Where my dogs at?
We ready.
Now I'm about to spell the Browns out and I know we one team, man, okay? I'm gonna spell the Browns. I'm gonna go B-R-O-W-N-S. And you're gonna say, let's get it.
Yeah.
All right, with my B-R-O-W-N-S.
Let's get it.
Let's go. 703 family on me. 1, 2, 3 family. Let's get it. Let's get it.
He can make anything work, dude. Oh,
why would I think that he's one of those guys that would play for free? Like if they said, hey, you could just come out here and we're not going to pay you today, but you're going to come out here and just have fun and play football today. Why do I think he would be one of those guys?
Yeah, he's certainly on the short list of guys that you would think would actually do that. I agree
with
you.
Yeah, I think he loves being around that.
It's the love of the game.
He does love the game. I think he really does.
It is, yeah. Man.
Anybody else get a little nervous when he said he was going to spell the Browns?
Yeah, yeah. I was
yeah, I don't know, bro.
I was kind of hoping we were playing for the Colts.
He gets the TVs on.
Jets. We've messed up the Jets before.
We have messed up. Bucks.
Yeah, let's go Bucks. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Man. Now, Jameis
Buccaneers. That would have been wild.
Jameis was on with Pat McAfee this morning. Now, we have found out he got LASIK eye surgery, much like Eric and I have done. Shout out to Brooks Eye Associates. I hope that he went to Brooks. They took great care of us. I'm sure they took great care of him. But
I'm pretty sure he did, actually.
I mean, they've got pictures on the walls of him. I wasn't sure if that was the surgery, but it makes sense if it was. Now, how blind were you, Jameis? Like, what could you see?
Well, I wasn't blind, Pat, but I'll tell you what, LASIK is definitely a game changer. Just the fact that I was able to, like, actually read a stop sign that was clear, read the street signs without using Apple Maps or Google Maps, like, it really helped me out with my depth perception. but a lot of times at Florida State, you know, I was squinting to look at the scoreboard, and typically we were up, you know. Most of the time when I was squinting at Tampa to look at the scoreboard, you know, I was trying to see if I could change the score a little bit. But it really impacted my game just in terms of seeing the depth of linebackers, identifying pressures sooner, and just processing information really fast.
It's crazy, though, that since he's had that, he didn't start playing better. Like,
yeah, that's a fair point. It's like we didn't notice a drastic change because it's honestly remarkable. He can't read a stop sign clearly.
Yeah,
but he has thrown
less interceptions, right? He was on that pace at Tampa where he was throwing every other pass.
Yeah, he just hasn't
seemed
had
to
the
be an interception. Yeah,
he's been backing up for the most part since then.
Yeah. Man,
I'm about due for another LASIK though. It's getting away from me. I had LASIK like 15 or 20 years ago.
Me too.
And it was a miracle at the time, but now that I get up there a little bit, I'm like, I don't know. I think I need a LASIK 2.0.
Yeah, they did tell us that you might start to notice something then, and then you can just get a little refresher.
Yeah.
We can get you in there. We'll set you up.
Man, I would love it.
Brian, how's the shoe game been rocking out there amongst media members in Oxnard?
Interesting you asked. I haven't really noticed. Why, is somebody posting shoes out here?
No, no. I mean, I wonder if anybody's watchdog in the shoe game, because George Kittle has certainly become the watchdog of shoes.
Oh, the media?
Yeah,
the media
guys? Man. He called the media out there in San Francisco. George Kittle saying, hey, guys, we need to do better here.
Got a lot of Hakas going on.
Yeah, well, I got the Hakas. I'll tell you what, Zeke liked my purple socks one day.
Oh.
He's like, man, I'm digging the purple Nike socks. I'm like, hey, well, thank you. I think he wasn't serious.
Did you return?
Did you return the favor? Did you say you didn't compliment something that he had?
No, I said, yeah, hey, I'm enjoying that you're wearing three hoodies right now with sweat all over them. You know, I'm no.
Very
I
body mean, built of him.
Yeah, very body
sure
built
is.
Of him. But he I rocked, I had a purple shirt on. And so I matched the socks like an old man. And Zeke walked up to me and he goes, man, I'm digging your shirt and your socks combo today. I think he was busting on me. I just really do. I just kind of, you know, I said thanks. But, you know, in real life, I was thinking he was probably making fun of me and he was at my expense. But that's okay.
No, I mean, your drip game can be pretty strong
sometimes.
Yeah,
not really. I heard you guys talking about what are those what are those?
Oh, the Crocs, the Batman Crocs?
Crocs, yeah, the Crocs. And I heard Dawson go, oh, they're doing some good things with those Crocs. You know,
they are.
I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like going, Dawson's not serious.
His lies bounce off you like
a lot of 6 to 11 year old boys.
So I hear that, you know, he looks at me. I remember times I'd sit in that table in the break room and I had my feet up and he'd look at those Crocs like, what are you doing?
Comfortable.
I heard him. He said they were for Derek Holland and 8 year olds.
I heard the Derek Holland. I said, oh, okay. And then when he goes, yeah, some 8 to 12 year olds can wear those. And I'm like going,
Derek Holland's a big Batman guy, though, isn't he?
Big Batman guy.
Batman super fans.
Yeah, he dresses up as Batman. Yeah. Doesn't he? Yeah. Then he go to
he does the voice
hospitals.
And
Dawson's trying to save himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's pretty badass.
He's a good dude. He's a good Batman guy. Yeah,
man. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been roasted like George Kittle roasted the San Francisco 49er media department, though.
I think before we begin, so you guys are out there at every practice. You guys watch us all the time, but there's a special teams period where I catch some footballs and I like to observe you guys. And you guys really need to up your sneaker game. It's absolutely atrocious. I got some Vomeros. Those are fire. And Grant wears Vans every single day. New Balances. They look like Vans. Yeah, those are Vans. It's okay. But you wear those every day, so I need you to switch those up. But I observe all your guys' shoes and I am disappointed in you guys as a community. So if we could up those, please. It's year 8, guys. Let's figure this out together. Okay, now it's all you guys.
It's year 8, guys. One of the same damn shoes for 8 years.
You know what? I mean, he could help out. You know,
yeah, why don't you buy him shoes?
Well, he could. Yeah, you know, he's probably got a shoe deal himself. He could say, okay, here we're going to do. I'm going to show you what I'm going to get you guys your first pair, and then you're responsible after that. So, yeah, maybe he could help the guys and the gals out that cover the team full time. That'd be nice.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Might say, give me 2 pair.
Yeah, 2 pair.
Hey. Send in your sizes.
I don't like buying like good shoes for people that really don't wear shoes like that, though, because they just totally disrespect them. Mm. Yeah. When you see them again, they like tied them too damn tight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, bro, them.
Yeah, what you doing?
But don't you kind of feel like the Lucius if you do get shoes for somebody that you know that doesn't have a really good shoe game that they might appreciate? I'm like, hey, listen, this guy, man, these shoes are big time shoes. I don't need to wear these all the time and stuff. Like I think I would respect my shoes if somebody gave me a pair.
Good for you,
Broadus. I mean, if it's Kittle, it's a great gift.
Good for you, Broadus. I live with somebody that I bought some expensive shoes for every time, and they tie them damn too tight, and there's super creases in the front. Wow. Like, what are you doing? Don't bend over like that. Yeah, shoes are 240, girl.
I would sit there. If somebody got me some nice shoes, I think there'd be a once in a little bit shoe. I wouldn't like
special occasion.
Just be walking the dogs in them and everything. I'll tell you what, man, this is not that type of shoe.
I've washed my shoes since I've been out here one time because of all the dirt and sand and
stuff.
A lot of
sand dust in your shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of Broadus and Oxnard, it is time for Krusty's Corner. Where are we going with it today, Brian?
Yeah, I've got some practice thoughts. I've also got some thoughts of the new players they just signed and traded for. We'll do that next.
Well, thank you, Lucius. A lot of interesting responses there to that shoe content. That's a juicy topic, turns out. Yeah. Didn't know. Corner brought to you by Dallas College. Your future begins here. Brian Broadus's coverage in Oxnard continues. Brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, from grain to glass. Here's Krusty.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that very much. And thank you to those sponsors for being on board with us today. I got to kind of talk a little bit quiet like I'm at a golf tournament today, guys.
Oh, we have a presser going on?
Yeah, Dak Prescott's at the podium right now.
All right.
So,
Presser Cott.
Yeah, I think he's okay. I think he's just kind of running through. We'll see what kind of questions that he gets. It looks like a small media group shoe game. I see with Patrick Walker, his shoe game looks okay. So maybe Dak's not getting on him about that. Okay, but okay. Clarence Hill might need some help. Yeah, Clarence might need some help.
Come on, chill.
Just overall accessories. I love the purple color. He always represents his fraternity.
Sure does.
But man, he's got a lot working with his shoes right now. So anyway. Hey,
he's got the Velcro shoes on, the black Velcro joints.
You know what? You know, it kind of got a little nurse vibe to him there. Nothing against the nurse. Nothing against the nurse.
Got a big old heel on that thing.
Yeah, they look super comfortable. Yeah. Super comfortable. But I don't know, man. I think Kittle would be all over him. Dak hasn't said anything about him yet, but I'm going to talk a little louder because I don't think Dak can really hear me right now, but we'll be okay. Hey, you guys get my notes I sent you about Tyler Guyton's day yesterday?
I did. Thank you so much.
You guys have any questions about that? Any questions, anything I could do for you to clear up anything on that?
Because what kind of a dunk would you say that was on all your haters, Brian? Is that a windmill or like a tomahawk?
I would say, have you ever seen the you ever seen Julius Erving win the slam dunk contest like in yes. the 70s where he left from like the middle of the floor
mm-hmm. yeah.
and went all the way in the air? I think Jordan did the same thing. That kind of, no, I take no pleasure.
You rocked the baby. You did that Julius rock the baby joint.
You had your tongue out and everything.
You know, I could have maybe thrown a Dominique Wilkins on him a couple of times, and I didn't do that. No, I didn't do that. But, I think that we have to be a little bit careful about the clips that we all get. And there were some really good reps from this young man. And, you know, it's funny by his own admission, he was off a little bit yesterday. You know, he was off with his techniques and things like that. And I know, man, he works extremely hard out here. And I'll say this about the kid. When he might have a bad rep or another, maybe two bad reps, the next three reps, four reps, he doesn't let things bother him too much. You could see that he bounced back pretty good, you know, in that practice. But I just wanted to give you an idea of how it went play for play for play, just the idea of that. So, but he'll be fine. This kid will be fine. He's now what's interesting today, you know, we were talking about with we were talking about with BB mm-hmm. and those guys. He was back to running with the twos today. So I looked at today, they did a cards practice, but they were kind of given a little bit of an idea of who was going to be where for the game on Saturday when we see. I have a feeling this is the way that they're going to line up with the backups. It's going to be Ball at left tackle. Oof. It's going to be Richards at left guard. It's going to be Cooper Beebe at center. Dakota Shipley is going to be the right guard. And then Matt Wiletzko is going to be the right tackle. That, I think, is how we're going to open this game. So they're going to give it's kind of a little bit of a short-lived, we're giving you first reps, Cooper Beebe. You know, yesterday he got primarily all the first-team reps against the Rams. And today they went back the other way where it was, Brock Hoffman was primarily the guy. So that's something to keep an eye on. So for the game on Saturday. I also want to talk about these guys that they just signed. Which one of the guys you want to talk about first?
The tackle. Stock Phillips.
You want to talk about Phillips. Okay. Jordan Phillips, he signed with the Giants after the season with the Buffalo Bills. And when I studied the games I studied last night, I studied him against Dallas. I studied him against Kansas City. And I studied him against the Philadelphia Eagles. I was just curious, like, okay, how did he play against maybe, division opponent kind of a thing? That's why I threw the Eagles in on that one. But here's a guy that to me, and this is Nick Harrison, I've kind of had this discussion about the player. This guy's got some legitimate pass rush to his game. You know, you think of a big body guy like that. To me, you look at Hankins. Hankins didn't have the range or the pass rush ability that Jordan Phillips has. And one of a really good example of this was they're playing the game in Philadelphia and they're trying to kill the game at the end. If Philadelphia's trying to drive to, send the game to overtime. They got Jordan Phillips all 330 pounds of him in there rushing the passer in the final minute of the game. Like sometimes let's put a bunch of fast guys, nickel guys in there. Let's try and get as much speed as we can. The Buffalo Bills put him in a situation where like, hey, we're going to let you rush the passer. This guy had six passes knocked down at the line of scrimmage. For a nose, that's really impressive. There were a couple of times where Mahomes had to throw it around him, like sidearmed it around him because he was trying to get the ball on the drags and, just the underneath stuff. But this guy has some initial quickness. He's used in those games and those twist stunts. He got a sack against the Cowboys where they played him as an end, and they ran a twist and brought him all the way to the inside at his weight, at his size, and they didn't handle it. It was they had problems. You know, Smith had problems with it. Smith and the two Smiths had problems picking up the twist, and they got home on the rush. So this guy's got the power to split double teams. He can line up at the opposite shoulder of the, say he's over on the right shoulder of the center, and then work all the way back to the left shoulder. And he was able to kind of cause some problems that way. You can see him knock blockers back. I mentioned about the range for a big man and the awareness. You could see, ball's about to be thrown. He goes up, going to try and tip balls, but he's also aware of, like, when they run screens and stuff, you could see that he was, like, searching where's the ball and then getting that direction. So, I need to talk to some folks at the Giants or somebody that knows the situation. It just sounds like to me they gave up on this guy. They just said, okay, we've got some young guys, and we're just really interested in having those young guys play for us. And so, we'll kind of get an idea when Phillips get here. But I think if you just only watch the Dallas game and the Cowboys were doing that, like, geez, this guy was a pain in the ass that we were having to deal with in this game. So, here we go. Going to have an opportunity. They're right now, like I said, they're really kind of trying to figure out some things with this defensive tackle, room. And matter of fact, even through the practice today, you could see these defensive tackles. Mozzie, that he's going to get cut. Rogers, a little bit more bounce to these guys today because they're like, whoa, wait a minute, they're getting rid of guys. They're moving on from guys. Carl Davis got let go. So, matter of fact, our guy Huggins is still in the mix.
Right.
He's still out here practicing.
And so, was that not surprising that they let Carl Davis go? I thought he actually looked a little bit better. My expectations were very low based on what we saw last year.
I think Carl Davis in the game against the Rams actually had some of those reps that you could teach from, where you could say, okay, this is how you play square. This is how you make the running back have to make a decision. Like you said, go left or right, because that guy, it's kind of, he's playing square and he's taking on the blocker and he's pushing him back. Yeah, I was a little bit surprised it was Carl Davis. I thought that after what happened with Huggins yesterday, I kind of felt like that maybe they would move on. But, man, he was out here practicing with everybody else. But Jordan Phillips, to me, looks like a pretty darn good addition to this football team.
Sounds like he's a starter.
You know what? I would say that he is better than what they had with Hankins, and that that Mozzie had better strap it up.
Yeah.
Mozzie had better strap it up, because this guy right here, this is an NFL veteran. This guy, he knows how to take on blocks and get off blocks, and he knows how to get upfield. And, like I say, you watch him play. The only thing that's been a history problem with him is these injury things he's had, the hamstring, the rotator cuff. He hurt his wrist in the game against the Cowboys and missed a lot of time until the very end when the playoffs rolled around. But I can see why they made. I can see why they did what they did with this guy. I absolutely can. He seems like to be a pretty good fit for this football team. All right, we'll talk about Lawson real quick here. I know I'm up against it a little bit.
You got it.
He watched him with the Jets. I think we've kind of talked about him in some in the past. I know John Owning was on earlier. There's good initial quickness off the snap. He uses his hands well. This guy can be a stout run defender. I think some of his run defending stuff was actually better than what his pass rush stuff was, because he was one of those guys that when he doesn't get the edge, when he goes down the middle, he really didn't have that power that you like to see to be able to kind of separate from the blocker. He's got to get a little bit on the edge and win with some quickness there. But, he can play hand down. He could stand up. He could redirect to get back to the ball. He could break down blockers. That was the one thing when I sent you guys my notes about Guyton. That's what Verse was doing to Guyton. He was breaking him down, slapping hands, moving hands, making him have to adjust. And Carl Lawson can do a little bit of that kind of stuff too. So he can get up the field to create some pressure. But, like I said, he'll struggle with power if he plays down the middle of the blocker. That's just not his deal. He mainly plays on the right side of the defense too. So keep an eye on that and see how the Cowboys use him. If he's with Tank being on one side, you know, they really they like Nealon a lot. Nealon's kind of playing both sides, but maybe Lawson, they might keep him over on that right side and use him opposite and of Tank and see if they could get a little bit more pressure over there.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Krusty's Corner, every day 3:40, brought to you by Dallas College. Okay, how the Cowboys could blow the doors off your expectations in 2024. It's time for the C-Note, the Cowboys news of the evening coming up next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.